Alrighty, welcome to Basic Crypto. I am Connor. This is Nate here with me.
How's it going?
And as you can see at the title, or why you probably clicked this, is what's our first question that we have, Nate?
What is cryptocurrency?
Alrighty, and just to kind of run you through how I'm anticipating the show to go, we'll see how it morphs. But Nate is here as the kind of the common man to help me not just get caught in the weeds.
Exactly. So, I know nothing about cryptocurrency. I have some assets, but not as much. So
yes,
teach me.
So what is cryptocurrency? That's what we're diving into first today. And the first thing to kind of understand is really the world of banking and or really the world of currency. And this is kind of weird explaining this for the first time. So bear with me if I'm all over the place. But cryptocurrency is, if you think about currency and how a dollar is exchanged between the two of us, Nate. So we have a dollar, like cash, a dollar that okay. We got out of our, really every dollar that you get out of your central bank or a central bank. It has to go through a central bank to get to your pocket, to become cash, and then it transacts. Now, eventually that dollar, in theory, will get back into a bank and then get recirculated and recounted as something and blah, blah, blah. And those dollars can be various forms. They can be euros, they can be dollars, they can be yen, they can be pesos, whatever. Cryptocurrency is the same thing, or it should be thought of in the same thing. It's just that there is no physical dollar to represent it. And the reason why people get super worried about cryptocurrency is because there's nothing physically representing it. Well, if you think about the dollars that's in your bank, the only reason that you think about the dollar that's in your bank as representing something is because you can see that number on the computer screen, right? Because we used to be on what's called the gold standard back in like the 20s, but that is no more. And so because people have just continued to print cash, and so that the cash that they're printing, yes, like there is a physical dollar that represents it, but it's just like essentially just saying that, oh, now this piece of paper now represents more money. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I see what you mean.
And so that there's not really, so when people are like, oh, a crypto Bitcoin, for example, is the big one. When people say, oh, what is a Bitcoin? Can I have a Bitcoin? Can I hold a Bitcoin? The only reason that they have that thought in their head is because they can hold cash. Well, but that cash, that only represents a certain amount of money dependent on how much of the other money is out there and is printed. And that money can continue to grow because central banks can just print more money, right?
Right.
With Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, the difference there is that there is a finite amount. Okay. So you can't grow, you can't, like, if you hold a Bitcoin through these bits or whatever, that can't be stripped away from you, or that can't be diluted in value. Like, it will never be worth less than a Bitcoin because there is only there's only 21 million Bitcoin out there. Am I tracking so far?
Yes, because it makes sense. Like you said, with the gold standard, there's only so much gold out there in the mm-hmm. world. That's why it's so valuable.
Right.
Same thing with Bitcoin. There's only a certain amount of Bitcoin out there. That's why it's so valuable.
Right. And I mean, naturally in economies, if you don't have the ability to print more, then it will naturally deflate if, like, over time, as soon as all of it's out there, and if you have the ability to print more, then it naturally inflates. You know, that's why we have inflation. Okay. And there are some cryptocurrencies out there that every day more are able to be made, and the reason that they're more able to be mined is the better term for it, and I'll get into mining later of what that is. But all of it, the term cryptocurrency is run off of two words, cryptography and currency. We all know what currency is. I've essentially explained that. But then the first part of that is cryptography. And cryptography is an old way of, or not an old way, but it's a method of encryption, essentially, for lack of a better way of explaining it. And that is what's happening on computers to essentially keep a ledger of all of the transactions that are happening so that we know how many coins exist and who has all those coins. But in order to, we don't actually know the physical person of who has all these coins. We just know an address that is encrypted through cryptography or through a form of cryptography.
Okay.
So if you, let me gather my thoughts here for a second. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the next aspect of this is going down the road of what's the difference between cryptocurrency and standard currency. And standard currency has to have a controlling entity, right? And really in reality, if, you know, if I say, hey, you know, this monopoly money is worth $1 to me and it's worth $1 to you, we have a currency. That's why first graders have currencies, you know, and learning like little small economies or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, like if you clean your desk, you get $1, right? But that teacher is the controlling entity. And so you need a controlling entity in order for a currency to work. With cryptocurrency, the controlling entity is everybody because it's made up of what's called a peer-to-peer network that all has essentially contributes to what is called the blockchain.
Okay.
I can get into those terms later. And so definitely check the podcast to see what is blockchain, what is peer-to-peer network, and we'll get more into that and do exactly how the blockchain works essentially. But what it is it's a bunch of computers, or let's think about it in people. So it's a bunch of people. Now let's think about it in computers. Okay. It's a bunch of computers that are doing math to essentially verify this ledger. And so there's a, if you have $10 and I have $10 and person three and four have $10 as well, and we start moving that money across the four of us, right? It's pretty easy for us to just know that you have eight, I have 12, he has six, she has whatever's left, you know, and we know where all the money is and where it's all going. Well, a computer has the ability to track that at scale. And that is what the blockchain is this giant ledger of all the transactions that happen. And if you have a finite number of coins, or you know how many coins are minted each day or mined each day, which is all trackable, it's all numbers, right? Then you are able to see where all these coins go, where all the cryptocurrency goes. And so you have a private address, or it's a public address, more like it, that represents your wallet is what it's called. And like I said, we'll get into these terms later. But so it represents you. This public address represents you, and so people can see how many coins went in to your public address, right? But nobody can go inside your house without a private key, which is a 26 word phrase, or it's a 12, 16, or 24 word phrase, right? And it could be really anything, but the longer, the more secure, obviously. And so that's really how this creates it and to be secure. So to take it back now to the difference between traditional currency and cryptocurrency, you have traditional currency that is, let's say it's the dollar and it's controlled by the Central Bank of America. They then have other banks that are offshoots of them or whatever. And those banks are, controlling, or they know where the money is that has gone through their bank, right? They have to report it. It gets regulated, blah, blah, blah. Well, as a person, on that, like if a bank gets hacked, or if a, you know, central bank gets hacked or whatever, then, everybody's like info could essentially be erased and taken out. Just like if you think about it more like a website, like if I am hosting a website, I have one server that has all of the info for that website. And so if somebody, instead of hacking one person's MySpace account, they're able to hack the entire MySpace by just hacking that one server, right? Well, the central bank is a similar thing in that it has all of the info, or all of the money has to be routed through that one thing. Well, with cryptocurrency, it's decentralized. It's not the central bank, it's everybody. And so the ledger is constantly being updated with other, like everybody's being updated on what the ledger has on it. The blockchain is constantly being updated so that if you wanted to make some kind of verification of a transaction, you don't have to go to some central entity that could get hacked. You would just ask the computer next to you. And the way that that is kept secure, we'll get into later, because that's a whole bunch of math that essentially goes on. But yeah, do you have any questions about what I've said so far?
No, it's making sense so far.
Okay. A common way to think about the progression of cryptocurrency, because that's really what it is we are progressing into a more fair way of transacting money. And a common way to think about it is Visa and the credit card, right?
Okay.
And so you had dollars in the past. You just before it was that, it was just transacting items, gold, whatever. Then it moved into dollars. Then it moved into digital money, which was a check, and then into a credit card, right? And everybody was super scared about a credit card or whatever, because it's like they held your information. But because they took a little bit of a percentage, they were able to charge astronomical, or they were able to make a lot of money. And therefore, if something was hacked, they'd be able to cover their own butt and they'd be fine, right? Well, cryptocurrency is like each individual address in theory could be hacked or whatever. But with like a Visa hack, if they hacked Visa, then they would have everybody's information. We're getting back to what I was saying about having a central entity. Everybody is connected to it. All of their information is plugged into it. And that's just not a good idea, you know, if you want to have something that's as little amount of hackable as possible. And so decentralizing it makes that better. And now credit cards are essentially, I think that in the future, credit cards are going to adapt cryptocurrency. And you're kind of seeing it now with like Venmo and stuff. And Venmo is almost exactly like a type of cryptocurrency, except for they still maintain that central entity aspect where they are connected to your bank account. So if they got hacked, whoever would have a connection to your bank account.
Gotcha.
Right? Apple Pay, I guess, would be the closest way to having cryptocurrency without it being cryptocurrency, because they create a randomized code that they send to the vendor every time that you use Apple Pay or touchless payment, right? And so that if that vendor got hacked, they don't actually have your information. They have a randomized code that only worked for that one transaction, so they can't use it again.
Right.
Cryptocurrency is very similar to that. And so as we progress into the future, the benefits of cryptocurrency, there will be things that really the technology that's behind it are going to be used to back the US dollar, or US dollars will be able to be transacted digitally using cryptocurrency, even though it would be different. Different than sending like from your bank or whatever.
Okay, gotcha.
And then the last thing that I want to say is the difference between cryptocurrency and a digital asset. Because really what we're talking about has a bigger is bigger than this. And it's not just cryptocurrency. It is anything that can be transmitted digitally. So we live in the age of information. And so being able to securely send digital information is the most valuable currency, or the most valuable thing in the world. And so really the best way to talk about cryptocurrency is by referring to it as a digital asset, because it's not necessarily, or a digital token, because it doesn't always have to translate into currency. It could be, a music song that is played. It could be a vote for the country, or for even just a board of, you know, whatever. So I hope that made sense. That's kind of my initial thoughts of what is cryptocurrency. If you have any questions, definitely hit me up on Twitter, I guess. Right. I don't really know where else to do it.
You can't comment on Apple Podcasts?
Mm-mm.
We can edit this, but...
No, review. You can only leave
Twitter?
A review.
Okay, so then what's your Twitter handle?
Connor Olstad.
Okay, so I do it again. So to finish this up,
Yeah. So if you want to, if you have any questions on this or you have any topics that you want us to cover, definitely shoot me a tweet at Connor Olstad
using hashtag basic crypto.